I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It has been recorded in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Begin reading with the 15th verse. If you love me, you will do what I command. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever. The world cannot accept this counselor, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And because I live, you will live also. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A number of years ago, a North Carolina minister was invited to preach Religious Emphasis Week at Mary Baldwin College in Virginia. Mary Baldwin College is a woman's college, and this pastor was seeking the wisdom of God and the direction of God for the words that he should give to these young ladies. He met with the leaders of the student body seeking to hear their heart. And in the course of the conversation, one word kept coming through. We feel such a sense of unreality in our spiritual life. Please tell us how to find God real. Have you ever felt like that? And I have. Sometimes God seems to be so far away and untouchable. No matter how hard I try, I cannot make contact with him. And sometimes I come to that place of feeling frustrated and discouraged and lost and all alone. But what's a man to do? Well, we turn to the scriptures to seek for an answer. And when we do that, we discover that the scriptures have been giving to us a revelation of the character of God. And that revelation begins to move in a number of different directions. For example, we look and we see God as the Creator. The fact of the matter is, the whole story begins with the words, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, the amazing thing is that He did that from nothing. He simply spoke, and it was. He said, Let there be light, and there was light. He said, Let the waters be separated, and the ground appear, and it was so. He said, Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And it was done. Well, one day the psalmist looked at all of that. And he said, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. We look again and we see him in his power. You remember the day that the angel made the announcement to Mary? He told her that she would bear a son, and her son would be the Son of God. What an awesome word for that young girl to hear. But she responded, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he who is mighty has done a great thing. And then he goes on to demonstrate that power. You see, not only did he speak creation into being, but when he spoke, his creation obeyed his words. He spoke to the wind, Peace be still. And there was a great calm. He commanded the evil spirit, Come out of the man. A demonic was as gentle as a child. He called Lazarus, Come forth. and a dead man stepped into life. We look again, and we can see that he is the sovereign Lord. We see him seated upon the throne of the universe, ruling and governing and controlling. And then we listen to the prophets as they reveal to us the wonder of his sovereignty. He does according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, "What are you doing?" Or again, "This is the plan that is devised against the whole earth. This is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned it, and who can frustrate it? And as far as his outstretched hand, who can stay it?" You know, we pause to look at that sovereignty, and we come to the fresh understanding that sovereignty means that he is absolutely perfect. And you and I are totally dependent upon him. Yeah, we see all of that. That is tremendous truth. But for all of the wonder of his power and of his sovereignty, we're still not satisfied. And our question is still not answered. He seems to be so far away and unapproachable. But then one day Jesus came on the scene. And through the course of his earthly ministry, he gave another dimension to the character of God. He came as the result of a question that his disciples had asked him. You remember, the disciples had been with Jesus through the whole of his public ministry. They had watched him as he dealt with the people. They heard him teach. They saw his power. They listened as he prayed. And they realized that there was a connection between the way he lived and the way he prayed. And so they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus answered, "This is the way you should pray." And then he goes on to tell us how to pray in power and to show us the things that ought to be a part of our prayer life. During these weeks that are before us, we're going to look at that prayer. We want to see the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. And we want to do that because what he said to them, he says to you and me today. The first petition of that prayer is this: "Our Father in heaven." The first point I want to make this morning is this: that God is our Father. Far and away, that is the most startling revelation that Jesus made about God, that he is our Father. Listen as he speaks to the people. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Or another time he said, "When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Or another time he said, "If you had known me, you should have known the Father also. I and my Father are one." I tell you, that is a startling revelation. It was so revolutionary, it must have shook them straight out of their sandals. You see, these Jewish people had never come to understand that God was their Father. That was far too intimate. He was the God of the Hebrew nation. They were his chosen people, and he led them as a nation. And they could trace their history all the way from God's covenant with Abraham to the glory years of David and Solomon. And they stood in awe and wonder and reverence and fear before the awesomeness of their God. And then one day Jesus came with this new revelation. This revelation that reminds us that our relationship with God is a relationship of a father and a child. A relationship where we can come into his presence with the simple trust and confidence of little children. And as we come to rest in his presence, we experience the wonder of his love, the mightiness of his provision. He's our Father. You see, the fact that God is our Father means two very special things. First of all, it means that God loves us and He cares for us individually. Now, I don't know about you, but I need to know that. And I suspect that you want to know it too. You see, there are times when things seem to go so wrong in our lives that we don't matter to anyone. Times when things get so messed up that not even God cares or can handle it. And we find ourselves filled with anxiety and worry and fretfulness. And right in the midst of our problems, we hear Jesus speaking, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And your heavenly Father cares for them. Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these." And then he goes on to say, "Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. So do not worry." But see, not only does He tell us that He loves us, but He also demonstrates that love. You see, He loves us and cares for us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Now, He is the visible expression of an invisible God. He is God who has come in human form. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is Jesus Christ, who is our advocate with the Father. And through Jesus, we see the love and the care that our Heavenly Father has for us. It was a woman taking on a great sin. Jesus forgave her and restored her. Yonder was a man who was a social outcast because of his occupation. Jesus went into his home and received him. There was a leper who was unclean and had been cut off from society. Jesus laid His hands on him and cleansed him. He saw people who were miserable and hurt and lost, and He rubbed shoulders with them and provided for them. Then there's you and me. Man, we've sinned and we've fallen far short of the glory of God. In the words of Isaiah, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And we have made a total mess of things." But you know, right in the middle of our mess, Jesus comes to take our place. He who knew no sin became sin in our place so that we can know the righteousness of our Father. And it is through Him that our sins are forgiven and we are brought into the family of God. You remember that little couplet? Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these human beings rush around and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." Let me tell you this morning, we really do have a heavenly Father. He loves us and He cares for us individually. He knows your name and He comes to meet you as your Father, to love you and to provide for you in the abundance of His grace. But that's not all. Because He is our Father, we are related to each other. See, we're part of the family of God. And that means you and I are brothers and sisters of each other in the Lord. Look around you for a moment. This is your spiritual family. And because we are family, we ought to act like a family. What does that mean? That means that we come to love each other. And the love we have for each other is the love that the Scriptures refer to as agape love. It is a love by which I seek the highest good for my brother and sister. It's a love that cares. It's a love that puts myself in the other fellow's place. It's a love that is willing to pray for God's special blessings in your life. It's a love that causes me to go out and to do good for you. This is the way the Apostle Paul said it. It's a love that suffers long and is kind. A love that does not envy or parade itself. A love that does not seek its own. A love that is not puffed up. And then he goes on to say, it is a love that knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. You see, the love we have for each other is the same love that God has for us. And that means that you and I love and care for each other because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We come together to affirm each other. We come to encourage each other. We come to build each other up. How many times does the Scriptures tell us we're supposed to do that? You who are strong, bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength. If any man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. This is the way it works. Here is a person who has a need. Perhaps that person is you. You hurt. You are discouraged. You are lonely. The members of the family come to surround you and to love you. They come to exercise faith on your behalf when you are too wiped out to have faith. They come to encourage you and to build you up and to walk with you and to provide for your needs until you can stand in the presence of God's provision for your life. You're encouraged and you stand strong in Him. You see, because God is our Father, we belong to each other and we have a responsibility that can only be met when we come to love. But that's not all. Not only did Jesus say, God is our Father, He said, God is our Father in heaven. That's vitally important because that keeps us focused on the holiness of God. It is so easy for us to sentimentalize the idea that God is our Father until we use that as an excuse for an easygoing, comfortable religion that looks upon God as some benevolent grandfather whose only responsibility is to give us what we want. But see, the Lord will never let us get away with that. He reminds us again and again and again that we must combine His love and His care and His provision with a sense of awe and wonder and reverence and respect as we stand in His presence to see Him high and lifted up, sitting upon the throne, and we bow in worship and in praise. Now, we come this morning and we look at the details of our lives, and we're not living in a very pleasant time, and we wonder if ever we're going to make it. Then we remember that we have a Father in heaven. He knows us by name. He knows where we live. He sees the circumstances of our lives. And in His love, He comes to take us in His hand, to minister and to complete us. And as we receive the bounty of His provision, we can only stand before Him in awe and reverence. We can worship His mighty name. He is our Father. Our Father who is in heaven. Jesus said, this is the way you pray if you want to pray with power.